Evening forever.
Okay. Good morning, one and all. Today's Daf Kuf Gimel in Zvachim. Okay. We have a little bit to finish off from yesterday. I take it back. We have a lot to finish off from yesterday. We are going to start, hopefully, the new Mishnah Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. The discussion today about oros. But before we get to the oros, the hides of an animal, we have what to cover. Yesterday we talked about Moshe being a Kohen Gadol. The Rav is of the strong position, says it straight out that Rav, he believes that Rav was a Rav. Rav believes that Moshe was a Kohen Gadol. I'm not reading this, I'm just showing you where to look. Kof Alef Amud Beis, on the back end of 101, so Rav says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol. And he was Cholek B'Kodshei Shemayim, and he got a portion of all the Kabbanis. He brings a proof, a good one as well. That Moshe got to eat part of the Kachet Kachem. How in the world is he able to eat the Kachet Kachem? So the answer is very simple, because he's a Kohen. Pretty straightforward. The Gemara quoted a number of brises that seem to go against that position, that Moshe was a Kohen Gadol, including the last thing that we did. Thank you so much. Including the last thing we did was a citation of the Seder Olam, where the Seder Olam gives us the picture of Rosh Chodesh Nisan from the perspective of a woman, Elisheva. Elisheva was the sister of Nachshon ben Aminadav, the wife of Aaron, and it points out that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan she had Chamesh Machos Haisa Elisheva Yisrael al Benos Yisrael. She was, for five reasons, happier, Simcha Yisera, additional happiness than anyone else. This is a good place to start. We'll start right over here. So I know we did this yesterday, but let's just quickly review this again. So Kufbei Samad Alf is where we are. It's about eight lines down from the top of the page. Chamish Machos Haisa Elisheva Yisrael Benos Yisrael. Yevama Melech, her brother-in-law is king. Her brother-in-law, of course, being Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Aaron's brother is Moshe, and Aaron's wife is Elisheva, so her brother-in-law. Isha Kohen Gadol, her husband turned out to be the Kohen Gadol on that day. So Benas Gan, her son is the deputy. Sons, really. Ben Bena Meshuch Mechama, and her grandson is Meshuch Mechama. The Achi Nasi, and then to top everything off, her brother is a Nasi. So she was happy for all those people, and for that she had five reasons to be happy. And Nasi Shevet, the Avela al Shnei Banaha. But on that very same day, she also had Avelos for her two sons. Okay, that's the end of Seder Olam. All this was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, first year after having left Mitzrayim. Ketana Mias, but again, we're quoting Seder Olam here because there's one point that we want to stress, which is Yavama Melech, that her brother-in-law is king. Melech in Kohen Gadolov, but that's only king. So Ema Af Melech. So the Gemara's answer is, well, it could be that what Seder Olam says Melech, it means Af Melech, even a Melech, meaning he's a Kohen Gadol, and he's a Melech as well. Okay. Begs the question, which I'm not sure if I have a good answer for. In other words, it turns out now that according to Rav, there were really two Kohen Gadols, meaning there was Moshe and there was Aaron. Aaron was a Kohen Gadol, and Moshe is a Kohen Gadol. Usually the way the system works is that there's one Kohen Gadol, and it comes out now that there are, in this scenario, two Kohen Gadols. It's a little bit strange. There's always a Kohen Gadol on reserve, yeah, right, in the event that a Kohen Gadol... Yeah. But, you know, to set it up systematically where you start with two Kohen Gadols, that's not usually...
Maybe he was only a Kohen Gadol for that same day or for the 7 days before.
That doesn't seem to be Rav's opinion. When Rav says that Moshe was a Kohen Gadol, he meant, seems to be that it meant forward, moving forward. Rav doesn't make any type of limitation. Kit tonight. And now the Gemara points out that this is subject to a Machlokes tonight. Vayicharaf Hashem Moshe, Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha Omer. Moshe was being a little bit reluctant in terms of accepting the nomination. Kadosh Baruch Hu nominated him to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. So Moshe said no, and he said no again, and eventually Kadosh Baruch Hu got angry with Moshe, and there's a charonaf, there's an anger, and Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha Omer, Kol charonaf shebetorah nemar bo roshem v'zelo nemar bo roshem. Now, usually, if Akash Baruch Hu gets to the point of Charanaf, say there's a roshim, there's an impression that's left, and here no such impression is left. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. Rabbi Shema Meyochai Omer, Avzenem Arba Roshem. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the Rashbi, says no. There's a Rishima. There's absolutely an impression. Shenemar, halo Aaron achich alevi v'halo kohen hu. So Aaron, your brother, is a Levi. What do you mean a Levi? He's a kohen. So hachi kamar ani amarti ata kohen v'hu Levi. Look, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, I'm angry with you, and here's the consequence. Originally, the plan was you're going to be the Kohen Gadol. Mm-hmm. So that means Moshe, you were going to be the king, you're going to be the Kohen Gadol, you're going to be everything. Mm-hmm. And Aaron was just going to be a Levi. Achshav, but now, because of your reluctance, who Kohen Vata Levi? He's going to be the Kohen, you're going to be the Levi. The Chachamim Omrim, Lo Nizkain Moshe Ela Shivas Yimei Amalun Bavad. According to the opinion of the Chachamim, Moshe was only serving as Kohen only for those seven inaugural days, and that's it. Meaning from the 23rd day of Adar until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, not including Rosh Chodesh Nisan, for those 7 days, Moshe served as a Kohen. And there are those who are of the opinion that Lo Paska Kohen Mizar Shal Moshe. No, it was only the children of Moshe who were in Kohanim, but Moshe himself was a Kohen Shenema, Moshe Isha Lokim, Banav Yikru Al Shevet HaLevi. And then the Gemara cites another pasuk as well, one we're all familiar with, the pasuk from Tehillim, Moshe v'Aaron b'chonav. Moshe and Aaron were Kohanim. This pasuk, which we say every Friday night, this one certainly gives us the impression that Moshe was a Kohen. So Maiva Omer, the Gemara now points out, what was the need of that extra pasuk? V'chitem l'dorosu. Moshe v'Aaron b'chonav. You might have thought that it was should extend for generations. The Moshe Aaron b'Chohanav only tells us that it's not for generations; it's only for that generation that Moshe served as Kohen. Quick summary now: so you see a Braisa, and the Braisa has four separate opinions in the Braisa. The first opinion of the Braisa is God got angry with Moshe, but no Rishima. It was just an anger that didn't translate into anything. Second opinion of the Braisa, the Rashbi says, no, there was the Rishima. Moshe got stripped of the Kohen Gadol. He was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol, and he got stripped of it. Third opinion in the Braisa, the opinion of the Chachamim, Moshe was only appointed Kohen for the seven inaugural days. Fourth opinion in the Braisa, the Eish Omrim, says that Moshe was a Kohen Gadol for the duration of his life, just not his children. Period. So now, the statement of Rav, Moshe was a Kohen Gadol, it's a machlokes tonight. And Rashi aligns Rav with the Eish Omrim. Rashi tells us that we're going to put Rav in the camp of the Yesh Omrim, so that Moshe was a Kohen Gadol, and going back to your point, it seems from the Gemara that he was a Kohen Gadol for the duration of his life. We continue the Gemara v'chol acharon av shabator namar bar rosh ma'aksiv. Now, we started off with a general principle that whenever you see charon av, when you see anger of Hashem, again, anger of Hashem, that's an emotion, so it's really Shabir says nine, right? That's the language of the Rambam. Right? We're given ways to describe God which are human-like. It's called anthropomorphism. But it's just a way that we can relate. Meaning it's not Kadosh Baruch Hu getting angry. It's not, you know, he doesn't react in such ways. Just it's a way to help us understand. So every time Kadosh Baruch Hu is charanaf, he gets angry. So there's a rishima. There's some impression. So he left Paro b'chariyaf with anger. So the Gemara says, Amarish Lakish Satro v'yatsa. So no, over there was also Rishima. It also left an impression. Moshe slapped Paro.
Maybe it's only for Hashem, the Rishima, not
yeah,
a human being, no?
I was so expecting the Gemara to answer that. And the Gemara didn't. In other words, the Gemara is assuming that this Charanaf crossed the board. You see Charanaf in Torah, and then you assume that there's some Rishima. So Amar Rish Lakish Starov Yatsa. So he slapped him. Umiyamay Rish Lakish Hachin. The Gemara says, now that's, I can't imagine. V'aksiv nitzavta likarso asfasayor v'amar Rish Lakish melechu v'hiz belopanem. When he first goes out to visit Paro, v'nitzavta likarto, he stands up to meet Paro. So Paro's a king. Not a good king, a wicked king, but he's a king nevertheless. And so Moshe stands up in deference and respect to Paro. So
Moshe wasn't a king then.
So Rav Yochanan Amar Rashahu ve'he'iz panecha bo. And according to Rav Yochanan says, no, just the opposite. He'iz bo panim. Right? The Nitzavta, the way Rashi understands Rav Yochanan's position, the Nitzavta was confrontational. Not that he stood up for him out of respect. He stood up like against him, to him, stood up to him. So fine. But nevertheless, you see, it's strange. Rex Lakish seems to be so totally inconsistent. Meaning, his shot of, right, that he left Paro Bukhari off means he slapped him. But on the other hand, the Vinit Safta, he explained it to mean that he stood up in respect and in deference to him. You could just simply say, by the way, both. Elo ve'elo. Meaning, the original meeting between Moshe and Paro, he stood up and then, you know, he got fed up. And okay, but still, the Gemara's answer is epoch. So, all right, the Gemara says, okay, flip it around. Meaning that what we'll do is we'll take the Vinit Safta pshat and we'll give Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish's position and vice versa. And okay, so then that way it'll work out. Amrav Yana Lolam Te Emas Machus Alecha. You should have the fear of the king upon you. Dechsiv Yardukal Avadecha Elai Elai the Iluli Didei Lo Kamar. So how do I know this? Again, we turn to dialogue between Moshe and Paro. Right, only by Yardu Kol Avadecha Elai Elai, but he didn't say to Paro. Not meaning all you are going to come and eventually kneel before me, but not to Paro. He didn't say to Paro himself because he had respect for Paro. Rav Yochanan Amehacha V'Yadashem Haisa Al Aliyahu V'Yishaneh Masnav V'Yaratz Lefnei Achav. Another place where you see that you should have Yiras Hamalchus. You should have fear of king, even if it's not a good king. It doesn't matter. Meaning he's a king, and therefore you should have Yiras Hamalchus. So we learn it from the relationship of Eliyahu and Achav. They didn't like each other, and that's an understatement, right? The Achav spent his life killing off the Nevi'im, and last week's Haftarah, if you were following. So the relationship between Eliyahu and Achav. So Achav was riding his chariot. Nobody was accompanying his chariot. It's not respectful for a king to just simply ride his chariot to be unaccompanied. So the pasuk tells us Eliyahu Anavi accompanied Achav, even though Achav was a terrible king, a wicked king. Okay, and again, the point of the Gemara is that you have to have Yiras Hamalchus. You have to have the fear of the king upon you, and you have to show a certain deference to the king, even if he's not a good king. Amar Ula, Bikesh Moshe Hamalchus v'lo nasna lo. Dichsiv Al Tikrav Halom ve'in Halom Ela Malchus. Again, now we're going to go a little bit further into the development of Moshe as being the leader. According to Ula, Moshe wanted to be the melech. Right? He wanted to actually take the position of king, meaning over that which he has, meaning he's a leader. I guess Malchus over here means a king with children being kings and, you know, the whole lineage of king. Now Moshe, by the way, didn't come from Sheva Yehuda. Okay, I guess that's an issue. The Gemara doesn't raise that as an issue, but that certainly would play into this discussion as well. Bikesh Moshe Malchus v'lo nasna lo. Dechsiv Al Tikrav Halom. Hashem says to Moshe, don't come any closer. Now the simple pshat in the pasuk is, we're by the burning bush, and simple pshat in the pasuk is, that's as far as you go. You don't come any closer. Nevertheless, the Gemara's understanding is, Halom is a code for Malchus. You can't get the Malchus. Ein Halom ala Malchus shenemer, mi enochi Hashem Elokim, ki avi yasani ad Halom. We see this in reference to David. David also uses the terminology of Ad Halom, the Halom being a reference to Malchus. So now we go back to the Seder Olam, and it said regarding Elisheva that her brother-in-law was king. So if her brother-in-law was king, so what do you mean he didn't get Malchus? He did get Malchus. Amarava lo ula zaro kamar. Oh, right. So the Gemara says, yes, he himself was a leader. And not only was a leader, he was the uncontested leader, so we'll call Melech. Right? It's basically that. But Melech also gives the connotation that you're going to be the king and your children are going to take on, and it's going to be a Yerusha. It's going to be an inheritance. And that Moshe didn't get. And so now the Gemara says, you're going to tell me that every time we see the word halom, it's now two things. It's malchus, and it's a perpetuating malchus. The Gemara says, v'havre gabi sha'ol, dechsev havei od halom ish. So it says regarding sha'ol that, using the terminology of halom, describing sha'ol, and he doesn't fit the bill. He's a king, but it wasn't given to his children. So, it's not good. So, who in Zaralo? but it only applied to him, but not to his children. So the Gemara is going to give two answers to this question. Again, the question is, we see the word halom means you being the king, and in perpetuity, your children, grandchildren are going to be the king. We see it that Moshe was told, you can't be halom. It was said by David, he is halom, so that's good. Shaul, where does Shaul fit into the picture? Because he was described as halom, but meanwhile, he wasn't. His children weren't kings. So Ibai say Mahav Ishboshes. So one answer the Gemara is that yeah, well, there was Ishboshes. Ishboshes was the son of Shaul, did take on the Melucha, very short period of time. I don't even think it was a full year.
3 years, 6 months.
Huh? Six months, right?
2 years.
I thought I thought like you.
Yeah, there's a Tosfos somewhere.
Okay, 2 years? Okay. So there was Ishboshes. On the other answer of the Gemara is no, Shaul out of hand is rejected because he himself didn't even make it. He didn't last his years as being the king. Meaning the original plan was Shaul was going to be the Melech, and he was going to be the Melech and his children, and it was going to go on forever. And again, how do you deal with the fact that he's not from Shevet Yehuda, and the Melucha is supposed to come from Shevet Yehuda? I don't know. That's right. That seems to be a question which I just keep repeating in the Gemara today, and I don't know. Meaning, how was the plan Moshe was going to be Melech, and how was the plan that Binyamin / Shaul was going to be Melech? I'm not sure. But still, the plan was that he was going to be Melech. Shenemar lo yigara mitzadik eina ve'es melachim l'kisei. It's not going to stop. Meaning, once you're a Melech, so that's it. You're the Melech, and your children are the Melech, and so forth and so on. Ve'im hegiz da'ato ha'kosh baruch ma'shpilo. The problem is going to be arrogance. If you become arrogant, which is easy because now you're in a position of power, you're the monarch, you're the king. So once you become arrogant, so you are now lowered. Shenemar v'im asurim zikim yukudu bechavle avani. So you're going to be bound in chains, right? Bechavle avani, and as a result of your sin, the sin over here being a reference to gasas ruach, to arrogance. So the second answer to the question, the second answer to the Gemara's question is Shaul really was supposed to be the king, and the plan was that his children were going to be the king. But once he demonstrated arrogance, that's it. Right?
He demonstrated, was it Malach HaMalek, or he didn't?
Yeah, Amalek, I guess, is a place, and then I guess you could point to Nov also, where he killed off the...
Well, that was already
Hebrew. I mean, that already, right, that's beyond that point in time. So Amalek, I guess, is where it is, but I don't know, it's funny, I wouldn't have called that arrogance. I would have called that more...
He didn't listen to what Hashem
said. Bad judgment on his part. Okay. Okay, back to halacha. Okay, a little bit of agadata, and now we're back to halacha. That was it. I think of the masechta. I don't know how much. A very sparse amount of agadata throughout our masechta.
Right, but that was in terms of Moshe is as a kahuna. Then he could have been eating the.
The pasuk says he was eating. Pasuk says that he ate kachim, and not just kachim, but kachim.
Of that day, so, the day that
right. So, the range of positions could be that he only ate that day. There is that, right? The brisa that we quoted towards the top of the page says he only ate for that day.
I mean, the
carbon for the miluin for the inauguration, meaning from the 23rd day of Adar until the first day of Nisan for those 7 days. Huh. So those days he served as kohen. So the most minimal position is only for those days was he a kohen. And then there's the opinion of Rav, which is expressed also in Tanaim as well. He said, no, he was a Kohen Gadol for the rest of his life.
So he wasn't Kohen Gadol on the day that the sons of Aaron died?
So he was. So the Gemara already asked that.
He could have eaten the food.
The Gemara asked that question. The Gemara says, how come? And the Gemara's answer was Moshe was too busy. That was yesterday. The Gemara yesterday said he was just...
He was
too busy. Okay, we continue in the Gemara. Bali Momen, Bain Bali Momen.
Is he away from the...
Speaking to Hashem. Too busy speaking to Hashem. Bali Momen, Bain Bali Momen, over in Bain Bali Momen, Kavuim. So we mentioned that a Bal Mom can eat carbon. You're a blemish Kohen, so you can't do the Avodah, but you can eat carbon. How do I know them? So it says Kol Zachar. Now, I don't have the Chumash in front of me right now. It says, Rashi points this out over here, it says kol zachar a number of times regarding the eating of karbanos. Kol is always a ribui, Every kohen, every male kohen can eat karban. So the who is the call coming to include? It's coming to include Baal Mum. So the first brisa, we're going to see this brisa in variations three times over this morning. So the first brisa, the Tanur Rabbanan Kol Zach L'Rab was Baal Mum Em Lamai. Now, when it says that a Baal Mum can eat karban, there's a riboy. What does that mean? Ilach, if it's just simply eating, meaning not getting a distribution, but just eating, having somebody come over and say, here, have a piece of my karban. Torah already says in Parshas Amor that they can eat the lachem alokav. They can eat, the Baal Mum is allowed to eat. So I don't need a pasuk to be marbet to include that a Baal Mum can eat. That we already know. So let's go one step further. So it's the chaluka. Tan Yidach, but the Gemara says we have another brice, and the brice says Kol Zachar. Sorry, not but. And we have another brisa. I told you this brisa is gonna point to different psukim where it says Kol Zachar or Kol Kohen. Tan Yidach Kol Zachar Rabbas Bali Mamem Lamai. Ila Chila Kramar Harikvar Mor. We already know that a Kohen is allowed to eat carbon. Ila Chaluka, if it's for distribution, Harikvar Mor. Harik va'amor. That also it's already stated. Sheyachol ainli alatam. But now it's the ba'amum. Ba'amum ikar minayin. So we have another ribui. We have another pasuk. And it's coming to tell me, even if he's a ba'amum kavua, he has a permanent blemish on himself. Nevertheless, he's allowed to eat carbon. Not just eat carbon. Get a distribution. Get a chaluka. Tamalomer kol zachar. Tani idach. Here's the third brisa. Kol zachal rabas ba'amum la ma'ila achila harik va'amor. Iba ila chaluka harik va'amor. The ila baal mum ikaro harek varmur. If it's a baal mum where he was born with the physical imperfection, also already stated as well. And li ila baal mum kavu, baal mum arver minayin. How do I know to include a baal mum where it's going to pass? Meaning right now he's blemished, but he will heal. Tamar lomer kol zachar. So we have the kol zachar. So you see what this last brisa just did? The last brisa said, I already know that if you have a permanent blemish, you're going to be able to get a distribution of the carbon. How about a temporary blemish? So then we have a ribui, we have an inclusion. So the Gemara looks at this third brisa and says, Kapilaya. The logic goes the exact opposite direction. Doesn't make any sense. Meaning if I'm going to include anybody, I'm going to start off with a mum over, with a kohen as a temporary blemish because it's temporary. He's going to come back to a position where he's going to be able to do the avoda. It would seem like I would the next drasha would be to come to tell me the mum kavua. So kapalai. So I'm Rav Shesha Sepach. So Rav Shesha says, okay, take that last brisa and flip it around. Okay, and I told you, I find that some of Amoraim were very comfortable in terms of just switching brisas, right, to manipulating brisas, if you will. And some Amoraim did not like it one bit. So Rav Ashi Amar Lo Olam Lo Tepach. Rav Ashi says, and by the way, in my very unscientific study, like I should be taking notes. Meaning I should, right? Who can I find a systematically which Amoraim do like to play with brisas, if you will, and which Amoraim don't? And I should be a little more scientific in my analysis. Let me just finish. Rav Ashi Amar Lo Olam Lo Tepach. So Rav Ashi says, no, don't play with the brisa. Leave the brisa as it is. The Istarich, and the Gemara says, and we'll go like this. We'll say it like this. Salka dat chamina, I might have thought, ki tamei, matamei, kama de lo tar, lo achel, af hainami, kama de lo misakein, lo achel, kamash malan. No, the brisa is very good. If you're a Baal Mum Kavua, that means that you were born with a physical defect, or even if you weren't, but it's a status that you'll never change. And you are able to eat carbon. But if it's a Baal Mum Over, you know, I could say to you, I'll give you an analogy. It's like Davish Yesh Lamatirin, right? For those of you who speak Yeridea. Right? Davish Yesh Lamatirin means that, look, it's going to change. The status is going to change. It's a temporary situation. Why don't we wait? Why don't we wait until he's in a position where he can actually do the avoda? So if it's a Baal Mum Over, I might have said, no, don't give him a distribution of carbon, because if we wait a little bit, he'll be in a position where he can do the avoda and he can work. So the brisa now is telling us that's the bigger chiddush. The mum kavua, he's a kohen, and he's never going to be able to do the avoda, so he'll eat, and that'll be fine. This person can do the avoda, just right now. Why don't we wait? Okay.
There's no time limits. You'll never know when you'll be able to.
Right. It's right. The Tommy situation.
It's not here in like Pesach.
So right. Right.
After Pesach, you can.
The fact that we're calling him a mum over, I agree with you. We don't know when, but the fact that we're calling him a mum over means we know it's going to pass. Gamze
Ya'avor. Right. Moshe Rabbeinu had a impairment, right? He couldn't.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe that's the reason it was.
That's not a physical blemish, meaning he had a stuttering problem.
Right.
Okay. But that's not a physical blemish. Mum is a physical blemish.
Oh, I see.
Kol she'eino roi v'lo v'arei ba'mom de'lo roi la'avod v'cholek. I told you this question was coming up, but I told you this a while ago when we did the Mishnah. That was some time ago. It wasn't, not so bad. 4 days ago. The Mishnah says something which is confounding. Very confusing. The Mishnah, after telling us that if you're a ba'mom, you're going to get a distribution. You'll get a chalukah. And then the Mishnah says, and here's the rule. Kol she'eino roi la'avoda eino cholek b'basar. If you can't do the avoda, you're not getting a distribution. What? That's just the opposite of what we just said. A Ba'amum does get a distribution, and he doesn't do the avoda. And meanwhile, then the Mishnah, when it puts it in a general rule, as the Mishnah loves to do, then the Mishnah says, oh, if you can't do the avoda, you don't get a chalukah. Okay, but that doesn't make any sense. That contradicts what we just said regarding the Ba'amum. So the Gemara is bothered by this, and the Gemara articulates this question. V'lov are Ba'amum. The Ba'amum doesn't do the avoda and he gets a distribution. Question number one, the strong question. This too, and furthermore, so, and what's the diuk? That if you are fit to do the avoda, you do get a distribution. Meanwhile, if it's a carbon sibor where the majority of the Jewish people are tamei, so he does the avoda. And the ain't a cholik, you don't get a distribution, you don't get to eat a carbon when we're in a state of tumah. So fine. So these two questions bother the Gemara, both the explicit statement of the Mishnah and the diuk, which also doesn't work out as well. So the Gemara says, ra'u la'achila ka'amar. Now, it's the way to understand the Mishnah is ra'u la'achila. Just simply fit to eat. Meaning as long as you're qualified to eat carbon, then you're going to get a distribution. The Gemara says, that's not always true. There's a child. The child is Raya L'Achila. He can eat. Right? Rashi quotes a number of Gemaras throughout Shas point to the idea that a child can eat. So a child can eat, and meanwhile, he doesn't get a distribution. So halokitani hasha. So halokitani. So the Gemara says no. The that wasn't actually stated in the Mishnah. So don't make. In other words, that's simply learned out through a deek of the Mishnah. Don't make that deek.
It's the opposite of the Mishnah.
Right. Right. Right.
It doesn't say anything about who is right.
Correct. That's exactly the Gemara's point. So hashadasa sahachi la'olam kidakamar mikara. So the Gemara says, and fine, and you know what? And now that you're telling me, don't look at what the Mishnah says. Now don't look at what the Mishnah implies. So if that's true, so then you can just leave it as it is. So hashadasa sahachi la'olam kidakamar mikara. Imishum tame lo kitani. Look, it doesn't talk about tame in the Mishnah. And imishum ba'amum. And what do you want to tell me? You want to tell me about the ba'amum? Rechman rabbe. Meaning you're right. A ba'amum doesn't do the avoda. So you want to tell me, oh, but from the Mishnah it says, well, the Ba'amum doesn't do the avoda, therefore he shouldn't get a chalukah. He has a special ribui, meaning there is what's called the regular rule. The regular rule is, who gets the distribution? The one who could do the avoda. That's the regular rule. And then the Ba'amum has a special ribui. It's fine, so really you can leave the Mishnah as it is, and the Ba'amum is just simply generated as an exception to the regular rule.
It's a real, it's like the
Mishnah then is not presenting us really the bottom line halacha. It is strange. It's a strange way to formulate the halacha, because here's a rule which is true. Oh, but by the way, Ba'amum is an exception. I feel tamei b'shazrika zrika zdamim v'tar b'shaz hektar chalav emein a cholek. Okay. we know that if you're Tamei Kohen, you don't get a chalukah, you don't get a distribution. Okay, you can't do the avoda, you can't eat. More importantly, you can't do the avoda. So therefore, you don't get a distribution. What if you're Tamei for the Zrikas Dam? So the Mishnah says that's no good. What if you're Tahor for the Zrikas Dam, but you can become Tamei later on? So it sounds from the Mishnah, that's fine. Okay, and the Gemara makes exactly that diuk. Hatar b'shas zrikas damim, v'tamim b'shas hektar chalavim, cholik. So you're going to get a distribution, even though at the time of the burning of the fats, which is over the course of the night, your tummy, you're going to get a distribution.
What do you do with the distribution?
If your tummy, right.
To a friend? Right. Sell it, right.
You can't really sell it. You can't sell it. Maybe exchange, maybe...
Kids
maybe... Now bartering. Market. No market for sure. No, but you're not going to sell to anyone. Barter with another coin.
Yeah. Black
market. I don't know. So.
It has to be eaten. You couldn't do something else.
No, it has to be. It absolutely has to be eaten. Okay. Masnis and Galoka Abishal, and this is not in accordance with Abishal. The Gemara tells us Abishal's position is the Tanya will enter a brisa. Abishal Amar Lo Alam Eino Ochel Ashi Tar B'Shas Zrika Ashas Hektar Chalavim. You have to be tahor. You have to be tahor for the zrika, and you have to be tahor also for the hektar chalavim, the burning of the fats. Okay, in order to be eligible for distribution, you have to be tahor throughout that whole process. Damar Krav the pasuk says Damar Krivis Damar Shlamim Ve'Esa Chelev. You require to be tahor over the course of that whole process. Which then prompts the Gemara to ask the following question within the opinion of Abishal. Bai Ravashi. Ninma Meintai Mahu. What if you become tummy in the middle? Bishaz Rika or Bishaz Hektar's Be'inan? The Gemara frequently asks this question, this type of question. We know we have two endpoints, we have two bookends in which you have to be tahor. From the point of Zrika's Dam to the point of the burning of the fats. How about all the middle? Is it that you have to be tahor only for those points? Is it only those points that become significant? Or no, you have to be tahor from the zrika till the point of hektar chalavim. So are there two dots, or do we draw a line from the two dots? Okay. So that's very easy. I was thinking about your question. No, I'm being serious. I was thinking about your question. That's easy. Because you, for the zrika sadam, you were tahor. Then you touch the sherets. Now, what's the tahara process for the touching of the sherets?
You have to wait till night. You tell
it on the mikvah and you wait till night.
Right.
The burning of the fats could take place at night.
Oh.
Right? Hektar chalavim does not have to be during the day. In fact, most of the time it was not. It was burnt at night. Okay, so you had a period of tumah between the zrikas dam and the hektar chalavim.
Until hektar chalavim?
No, you don't. You can eat it beforehand. So, truth be told, is that usually the distribution would take place before the hektar chalavim. Usually. But Abishal says that if you, for whatever reason, it wasn't, and turns out you were tummy later on, that's no good. So, on this question, let's finish up. So, on this question, so, you got it. You got the points. Teiku, the Gemara says, I don't know. All right, finishing up to the bottom of the Amud and until the next Mishnah, we're going to encounter the following Braisa. Now, before we start with the Braisa, first of all, the entire Braisa is going to be taking place in the bathroom, meaning we're going to be learning the Braisa in the bathroom. Now, thankfully, we're not. But the Gemara later on will ask the obvious question. You're not allowed to learn in the bathroom. Okay? Gemara is going to ask that question at the very end. So that's strange and fine. I'm acknowledging it from the beginning, as the Gemara will acknowledge it later on. Essentially, here's what the Braisa is going to say. It's a very interesting way of putting all this information into a Braisa, but it's basically going to say, if you're Tamei, you don't get a distribution. Now, you'll say to me, we learned this already, that's exactly the point, but we're going to see it in the context of a Braisa, and Psukim and Kalvachomer, and it's this Bryce is going to be much more about process than it is going to be about result. The result is your Tamei, your Tful Yom, your Mechusa Kippurim, you're an Onain, you can't eat Karban, you don't get a distribution of the Karban. Okay, watch the way the Bryce works. So Amar Rava, now we have it over here as Rava, probably the, if you look at the side, the gear says to change it to Rav. right? The Shita Mekubetzes also changes it to Rav. That's significant because it's probably the reason why everyone's correcting the Gemara. Rav is a third generation Amora, right? Rav Abaye. So third generation Amora, and here he's going to be learning from a Tana. So it's unlikely, if not impossible, for Rav to have learned from a Tana. So Rav, however, was a student of Rebbe, and a student of Rebbe Chia, and he was right on the border between Tanaim and Amorayim, so the change is going to go from Rav to Rav. Amarav, Hai Dina me Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon Gemirna. I learned this from Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon, and as I pointed out just a moment ago, he's a Tana. To Amar Bebeis Akisei, and he learned this in the Beis Akisei. Right, so this entire Brisa was taught over in the bathroom. Danta Batful Yom Va'amar. So here now we are going to have a conversation between Kohanim. One Kohen happens to be a Tful Yom, and he's done, which means that he's going to make an argument in terms of why I should be able to get carbon. And the reason goes like this: Va'amar Tainli Me Mincha Va'Ochel. Give me the mincha and I'll eat it. Now, I dare say he's not talking about eating it now. He's talking about eating it later. But in other words, his point is, I should get a share. I'm entitled to a share. I'm a low. So the other Cohen says to him, right, fictitious conversation. Yeah, everyone understand? Right, this conversation over here, not actually take place, but a theoretical conversation could take place between these types of Kohanim, and we're going to draw out the points of why the Tful Yom thinks he is in fact entitled to a share, and why the other Kohanim say to him, you're not entitled to a share. So va'ocha amar lo uma im b'makom shiyafakol chacha b'chatas acha d'chisi mechatas Yisrael. Look, when it comes to a carbon chatas, which truth be told, you have even more entitlement to. Chatas results in meat of a chatas, which is eaten by Kohanim. So you have even more entitlement to a mincha, because some menachos are not eaten by Kohanim. Some menachos are burnt entirely on the, on the Mizbeach. So you have more entitlement to a chatas, and meanwhile, you don't get it. You don't get chatas. We'll explain why in just a moment. Malkam sha'orikol chacha b'minchascha, eno din sha'adichacha b'minchas Yisrael. So in an area like mincha, where you have less entitlement, if you're not getting a share of chatas, you're for sure not getting a share of mincha. Uma in dichisan michatas yisrael shekeshem sheyafa kochi kach yafa kochacha tidichenu mincha shekeshem shahar kochi kach har kochacha. So the Tful Yom says back to the non Tful Yom Kohen, wait a second. Look, the chatas, you have more entitlement to the chatas, so you can make the argument that okay, chatas you'll get, I won't get, but the mincha, you also have less entitlement to the mincha. So you know what? So I don't understand how your argument works. So you have less entitlement to the mincha. Maybe I'm just entitled to you or by the mincha. So harehu omer lekohen makrivosa lo tiyeh. So in other words, using kal vachomer by itself, not going to be helpful. So that's where I'm going to have to come back to psukim. We see this time and again, that the kal vachomers are not conclusive. So we have a drasha. And the drasha says, "Lakona makriv osal losi yebo." The kohen who's makriv, he gets. So akrave va'achol. Only if you're makriv, and you, Mr. Tful Yom, you're not makriv. Therefore, you don't get a distribution. Okay. Next, teili michatas yisrael va'ochel. So once again, now the Tful Yom turns to the non-Tful Yom kohen and says to him like this: "I want a piece of chatas. Give me a distribution of chatas." Again, I don't think he's saying so that I can eat it right now. He's tummy, meaning so that tonight I'll be able to eat it. Amar lo, uma b'makom shahor kochi b'mincha si dechisicha b'mincha Yisrael makom shiyafa kochi b'chatasi eino din shatich she'adachicha mechatas Yisrael. So here we're going to go in the opposite direction. Look, my entitlement to the mincha is diminished because again, not all menachos are distributed to the Kohanim. Some of them are totally burnt. And meanwhile, I'm pushing you off from the mincha. You don't think I'm able to push you off from the chatas as well? Yeah, I understand you're pushing me off from the mincha, but your position by the mincha is diminished, so is mine. But look, I also, you have stronger entitlement to the chatas. I also have stronger entitlement to the chatas. Harei Omer, and once again, the kavachomers don't get us anywhere. Psukim. Hakoin hamechate osa yochlanu ba chate ve'echol. Only if you're mechate over here means only if you get to offer the carbon chatas. Chate is the verb of bringing the chatas. Only if you're mechate, then you get to eat. Amar le, one more conversation. Tain li mechazeh v'shok v'ochel. I want chazeh v'shok. Chazeh v'shok are the parts of a shlamim that are given to the kohen. The shlamim, karmel shlamim, most of its meat is eaten by its owner, but two cuts of the shlamim are given to the kohen, the chazeh v'shok, the chest and the right forearm of the animal. Amale, and again we're going to go through this conversation. So the non-tful yom kohen says back to the tful yom kohen, ridiculous. Our claim to the chatas is stronger, and I push you away from the chatas. Our claim for the shlamim is weaker because we only get a fraction of the meat. I'm for sure going to get to push you off. So the tful yom kohen says back to the non-tful yom kohen, no, that's ridiculous. You know why you get to push me away from the chatas? Because we don't get to take our chatas home with us. Meaning, our wives don't eat the chatas, our slaves don't eat the chatas, it's only zichrei kohuna. But meanwhile, chazeh v'shok, yes, it's true, quantitatively, I get less of it. But whatever I get to take home and share it with my wife and my slaves. So I have more entitlement to the shlamim in that I could take it home and share it with my family. Zrok v'achol, period. Okay, not a strong period, but only if you do the zrika, only then you get to eat. Three times over, basically the point is the same point. The tful yom can't do the avoda. He can't do the avoda by the chatas. He can't do the avoda by the mincha. He can't do the avoda by the, what was the third one? By the shlamim. So since he can't do the avoda, he doesn't get a distribution. He tried to bring kavachomers. The kavachomers can go in either direction. So we have psukim in each one of those. Yatzah tful yom, this is the end of the braisa. Yatzah tful yom, Kulya v'chamarav al rosho. The tful yom leaves. He argued. He made kavachomers. He leaves with his kavachomers. The imagery is that his kavachomers leave with him on his head. Okay? He walks out the door with his kavachomers. Onein miyamino mechusa kapar mismalo. And great imagery. And as he's walking out, he has on his right hand side, who's walking out with him? Meaning, who's not getting shares in the karban? So the onin is on his right hand side, and the mechusa kapara is on his left hand side. And clearly there is meaning to placing the onin on his right and the mechusa kapara on his left, right? Oh, fine. Okay. The sorry. Mechusa kapara mismalo. That's the end of the braisa. So, a couple things. Number one, says the Gemara, Paruch Rav Achai. Rav Achai asked the following question. Just as a point of interest, Rav Achai, who is he? So, some Rishonim say that Rav Achai is Rav Achai Gaon. Okay. We generally know that in the Gemara, Gemara was put together by the Amoraim. Finally edited by Ravina Ravashi about the 5th century. Okay, and that's usually it. That's the closing of the Gemara. Now, after that, anything after that are commentaries to the Gemara. But you don't find any added components of the Gemara placed afterwards. Some Rishonim are of the opinion, like if you look on the side, if you look at Tosos over here, I'm sorry. Right, the bottom Tosos on the page, part of Rav Achai, b'chol makom l'shonam mishuna, k'edashchem b'resh k'suvitz pashit Rav Achai, u'mitokach haya omer Rabbeinu Shmuel. So he quotes the Rashbam, right? The brother Rabbeinu Tam, "Dehu Rav Achai she'asa she'iltos." This is the Rav Achai of the Sheiltos, the famous Sheiltos.
What's that?
Sheiltos is one of the famous works of the Gaonim, written by, authored by Rav Achai. His year, what year did he live in? He lived after the Gemara. About the 7th century. So the Sheiltos, it was popularized. We know the Sheiltos. First of all, Tosos quotes it often. Rashi ever quoted it? Not that I can remember. It's popularized because the Netziv wrote a commentary to the Sheiltos, right? The Emek HaSheila, right? So he put the Sheiltos on the map, if you will. So according to the Rashbam, comes out now that this piece of Gemara that we're learning was added significantly after the final editing of the Gemara. Okay, not everyone agrees. Okay, Rabbi Natam disagrees. Rabbi Natam is not mentioned over here. Anyway, let's go back to the Gemara. Why in this Braisa was mentioned Mincha, Chatas, and Shlamim? How come the Bechor wasn't mentioned? That same give and take could have gone by Bechor, where the Tevil Yom could say, I really have more rights than the Bechor. I know, I understand how you could push me away from the Chatas, but you can't push me away from the Bechor, because the Bechor is all mine. I get the entire animal. And then the non-Tevil Yom Kohen can come back at the Tevil Yom Kohen and say, no, it's not true. Right? I could push you away. And then we quote the Pasuk, how come in this bright star of Rabbi Shimon, we don't add the Bechor to the discussion? The Edach, and the Gemara explains, I'll tell you why. Parech, miksiv uvsarim lekoen, hazarek uvsarim yiyelach ksiv. Bechor is fundamentally different. Bechor is owned by the Kohen. It doesn't say that he has to do the avoda and therefore he gets a distribution. He actually owns it. Afilo kohen acher. Fine. Period. Okay, so Bechor is different, and that's why the Bechor wasn't included in the Braisa. And finally, the Gemara asked the obvious question, which I told you from the very beginning of this discussion was just strange. Hechi avid hachi v'hama rabba b'abachanam rav yochan b'chomaka mutal harer chutz mimerchot ubeis hakisei. How in the world could they be learning Torah in the bathroom? You're not allowed to learn Torah in the bathroom. Reason being, you're not allowed to learn Torah in the bathroom because it's... The Torah says, when you're dealing in Dvarim Shebekedusha, you can't be near waste products and foul odors, and you're not allowed to go in the bathroom. So the Gemara's answer is la'on so shani. It was an ones. Look at Rashi. It's great. We're great. Ones. What does that mean? It was an ones. Shahayisi shmo so shgur befiv umahara ba akarcho. The Dugmoso Shemat Bekedushin. Right. They constantly learn Torah. Oh, right. And in other words, for them, they were so engrossed in the study of Torah that it was on their mind all the time. Right?
They spoke also. You're not supposed to speak in the bathroom.
Correct. And I would venture to say that they weren't speaking in the bathroom. But in other words, they were constantly... They say about the Vilna Gaon, true or not true, I don't know. But they say then about the Vilna Gaon that in order to get his mind off of Torah... So he did math in the bathroom, uh-huh. Right? That's what they say. Okay.
As if he spoke afterwards.
Oh, he spoke, but he didn't speak about it in the bathroom. So the Gemara says is that this was the thought process that was going on in the bathroom. La'on so shani. That's what makes it so fundamentally different.
Shmuel,
for sure.
They're not strong.
Right. It's just right. That's the point. Is just simply, you know, it's hard, especially when you're so dedicated to learning Torah that, you know, it's hard to not think about it when you're in the bathroom. And okay. All right, let's start the Mishnah. Let's just do the Mishnah. Okay, we're behind. I know. Kuv Gimel Amud Aleph, we're starting the Mishnah, and the Mishnah over here talks about the following. Oros, the hides of a carbon. Carbon Ola is totally burnt on the Mizbeach. But every time we say totally, we don't mean totally. Before you shech the carbon, you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach, you flay the animal, half-shaked. You strip the hide off the animal, And what happens to that hide? It's given to the Kohanim. So the Kohen that's working in the Beis HaMikdash that day, they get to take home all this great leather. New carpet for their floors, new pair of shoes, perhaps a new purse for the wife. The Kohanim get the Oros. And so the Mishnah over here discusses, when do the Kohanim get the Oros? Kosh lo zacha mizbech bifsara, lo zacha Kohanim ba'ora. In order for the Kohanim to get the Oros, the Mizbech has to be able to get the Karban. Shenemar, olas ish. Ola she'alta le'ish. It had to have been that the Karban was effective to somebody. Ola she'nishchetu she'lo l'shma, fa'pi she'lo alta le'balim, ora le'kohanim. Let's say you had a she'lo l'shma, right, going back to the first day that we learned Zvachim this year, right, where when you calling Shech to the Karban, he says, I'm Shechting it l'shem. And instead of Ola, he says Shlamim. So now what happens to the Karban? Karban's still good. It just didn't work for its owner. The owner didn't get credited. Echad says the Mishnah, that's also okay. The Kohanim are still going to get the or going to get the hide. Echad Ola Sa'ish, Echad Ola Sa'isha, or Rosein La Kohanim. Now, even though the Pasuk says Ish, it doesn't mean man to the exclusion of woman. If this Karban was brought by a woman, the hides go to a Kohen as well. Aris Kashim Kalim Labalim, Aris Kashim Kashim Lakohanim. The hides of Kashim Kalim go to the owner, the hides of Kashim Kashim go to a Kohen. Kavachomer. Oma im Ola Shalo Zachubiv Sarah Zachuba Ara. Kache Kashim Shazachubiv Sarah. Ain't Odin Shizgeba Ara. Chata Sanasham. Right, where they're Kashim Kashim. If the Kohen gets the hide in a scenario where he doesn't get the meat, so if he gets the meat, you don't think he's going to get the hide? And what are you going to tell me? Well, by achatas, the mizbech doesn't get the meat. That's not a question. She'ein lo or b'chol makom, because the mizbech never gets the hide. So you can't introduce the mizbech into the kavachomer because the mizbech never gets the hide. So we only look at it from the perspective of the kohen. And since the kohen gets the meat of chatas Hashem, they for sure going to get the hide of chatas and Hashem as well. Okay, Adkan, that's the Mishnah. Tomorrow we start with the Gemara. Tomorrow we are going to go over exactly when the Kohanim are entitled to the Oros of a Karban Olah.